Good afternoon. Welcome on in to Kildare Focus. It's Thursday, the 23rd of February. You're listening to KFM. It's Caoimhe Hearney with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up on today's show, we'll be speaking to Maeve Fitzgerald. She's Health and Wellbeing Coordinator at Naas General Hospital. They're reminding people supports are available if they're trying to give up smoking for Lent, and they have launched their Quit campaign. Then we'll speak to Louise O'Reilly. She's a Sinn Féin TD and party spokesperson on enterprise, trade and employment. They are calling for the sub-minimum wage rates to be abolished. Then we'll speak to Sinead Wisely, owner of Refills in Naas and in Port Arlington. They are the winner of the Green Micro Enterprise of the Year Award for 2023. And then last, we'll speak to Leanne Costello from Clean Coasts Campaigns. She is telling us to think before you flush, urging people to only flush the three P's down the toilet, and we'll find out what the three P's are later. Of course, if you want to get in touch with the show, 045 898 999, that's our landline number here. If you want to email me, it's studio@kfmradio.com, and of course you can text us.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Hearney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, of course, many people will be trying to give up things for Lent. And yesterday, Naas General Hospital issued a statement, and they have launched their Quit campaign again, which is asking people to consider maybe quitting smoking for Lent. And I'm joined now on the line by Maeve Fitzgerald. She is Health and Wellbeing Coordinator at Naas General Hospital, and she's going to tell us all the ways that you can hopefully quit smoking. Good afternoon, Maeve.
Hi, Caoimhe. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No problem at all, Maeve. Delighted to have you. It's such an important issue.
Absolutely.
Maeve, I suppose start and tell people about generally the Quit campaign first.
Okay. Well, I'll just start off with just giving you some risks and just a little bit about smoking in general and just some stats on that. Would that be okay, Caoimhe?
Of course, yeah.
So basically just that the Healthy Ireland survey in 2022 still states that 18% of the population are currently smokers. So that's one in five adults still smoking. That hasn't declined since 2019, which is a little bit shocking. One in two smokers will die from tobacco-related diseases every week. Over 100 people will die, and 1,000 people are hospitalised in Ireland for smoking-related illness. Tobacco accounts for about a third of all cancers, most common being lung, cardiovascular, stroke, respiratory disease, like COPD and lots of other diseases. It's actually frightening statistics to say that smoking can take 10 to 15 years off your life. There's research to show that every cigarette, it can take 11 minutes off your lifespan. So these are like shocking statistics. That's why we're really trying to promote, the quit program. So basically, I work very closely with the health promotion officer, Aoife O'Brien, in the Vista Clinic in Naas, who is also located in other areas in the county. And I can give you some of the information at the end of the conversation, just on where the contacts are. So basically, it's just so important that we're trying to promote this quit campaign. Just benefits of quitting basically reduces your own premature death. It's reduced of lung cancer, cardiovascular disease, which strokes, respiratory, COPD, and it really can accumulate to lots of other different cancers. On top of that, like, other benefits of quitting is sense of taste and smell will improve. Your skin, you'll have better hair, skin and teeth. No smell on your clothes, and your breathing will improve, which with improved lung function, you'll find it easier to do exercise and complete your daily tasks. Other things are, we actually save a lot of money. By smoking 20 a day, you can actually save up to 5,000 euros in a year. And one big thing that I actually like to promote is you're actually going to cause, you're preventing causing harm to others, which is really big. In other words, your secondhand smoke, whether it's at home or it's in work or wherever it is, you're going to prevent other people from getting sick.
Yeah, I mean, apart from the obvious really bad health risks, $5,000 a year is just such huge. I know it shouldn't come down to money, Maeve, but sometimes things do come down to money, and that's a mortgage really for many people.
Well, it is, or it's a holiday for some people as well. So, I mean, some of the quid packs have a little money box in it. If you don't access it, you can actually so you'd see your money, you know, accumulating. We were talking about the quit and the supports that we have. So if we have a free quit service in Ireland. So in the in our area, we have lots of different places that you can actually. It's local healthcare, primary healthcare centres that you can actually mm-hmm. access. These services, if you self-refer or you get referred into by your GP or if you're in hospital, are a free service. So it's a once-off referral. If you feel you need to engage, you can engage. If you don't feel you're at the right stage that you want to engage, that's no problem. You don't need another referral. You just need to contact the centres and they will advise you of the process to go. These centres are in Kildare, in the Vista Clinic in Naas, in Baltinglass, in Newbridge, Cherry Orchard, Maynooth and Athy. So it's just a matter of ringing into any of those primary healthcare and any of the health promotion staff will actually advise you on the correct area you need to be, and they'll give you the phone number to contact the health promotion officers, the smoke and cessation officers in those areas.
Okay.
So,
People have to attend their GP to get referred?
No.
Okay.
Self-referral system, so you can actually ring up yourself.
Okay.
We actually here in the hospital, so what we're promoting, we had a QR code. We did a survey in December and it just highlighted the issues we have with smoking. And so we did this post survey. We have a QR code that anybody can scan. It's around the hospital, and the application will just pop up on your phone, and you put in your details, and the smoke and cessation officer will contact you. But okay. If you don't have that, your GP can refer you, but you don't have to attend your GP. You can actually ring any of these primary healthcare centres that I've just mentioned, and they will direct you to the correct primary healthcare centre that you need to require. You can actually also just do all of these. It can be face-to-face. It can be one-to-one sessions. It can also be done over the phone. So just to make sure that people actually are aware that there's free nicotine replacement therapy, which these are the patches, the string, the lozenges, the spray, they're all free at the moment for all members of the public. It's not just we healthcare workers are provided with free nicotine replacement therapy at the moment, but it's across the board. So if whether you attend your health promotion clinics or whether you ring quit.ie online, it's all free at the moment, just as a big, big promotion to try and aid people to assist in giving up.
That's brilliant, because I think that can, especially in these times where cost of living has gone so high, they can be quite expensive, those products. So it's great that the
100%.
HSE are giving those out now, Maeve, isn't it?
Just to say to you as well, statistically wise, that's why we always say Lent is a good time to start. So they actually, if you do stop smoking for 28 days, you're 5 times more likely to quit for good. And getting help and support from either your local smoke and cessation officer or for someone online, then that actually will actually double your chances of quitting. So they do say as well, if you do attend the smoke and cessation service or whatever, they will advise not maybe just one product, as in, say, the patch. People will say, always try the patch. They will advise maybe a second product or even a third one. So like the chewing gum, if you can tolerate it, the spray, there's lozenges. And then if these... you know, there are alternatives as well, but you need to attend your GP. These are just over-the-counter medications that you can buy. But your GP, if you do attend your GP, there are other medications you can actually take, but they need to be prescribed by your GP.
Okay. And like you said there earlier, Maeve, like, I'm sure there are people listening in here now who've attempted to quit on numerous occasions, and maybe they might think, look, sure, it's only me that I'm harming. No harm in that. But really, like, we all know that, you know, monkey see, monkey do. And like when children see maybe their parents or their grandparents smoking or their aunts or their uncles, we know that does have a knock-on effect for them too, doesn't it?
Absolutely, 100%. That's why one of the big things we're saying, the benefits of quitting smoking, is you're causing harm to others. Secondhand smoke, so basically it's like the health promotion we promote, everything starts really at home and then it works from there. So you bring whatever happens at home, if you see it being done at home, you know, and then either you see it done in work, so we've try and promote people in work or if they're smoking not to smoke. It'll actually be a ripple effect onto your family, onto your community. So that's what we're trying to promote.
Yeah. Maeve, it's great. We actually have a text in here to 0833 97 97 97, and this man says, I can't speak any more highly of this smoking cessation service. I've been off cigarettes since January the 1st thanks to Anya Gorman in Athy. Feeling great, and she is so professional. Tom, a former HSE worker and also a former smoker. So that's great news there, isn't it, Maeve?
It's absolutely brilliant. And what it is, it's a really, really difficult process to go through. And we are very, very understanding of what people, you know, what they're going through, because I've been told here in the hospital, it's like a death. Like some people have said, they've equated it to, you know, oh my God. So the health promotion and smoking cessation officers are there to help. They're not there to give out. They're just literally a support, because it really does come down to the individual person. You have to really want to give up. And yeah, you know, some people do have slips. You know what? That's fine. You just have to just stay positive and keep going. And, you know, and with the help, you know, it really does. It makes a big difference, as that gentleman has just said.
Okay, Maeve, before I let you go, and I don't know if you'll be able to answer this for me, but I've seen it in, you know, my own circles over the years and family. When two people live in the same house and they're both smokers, one wants to quit and the other doesn't. And maybe previously they've both, you know, smoked in the house. Can that be done? Like, if there's a couple and one was going to go ahead and give up smoking and the other still remains smoking in the house, what way do you go around that?
Okay, so yes, it can be done, Cuiva. So, what, you know, we would have lots of success stories. So basically what you have to have is, you know, a buy-in and consideration from your partner that, you know, if you're going to say, look, I want to give up, I'm going through this process, I'm getting some help, and if you'd ask them not to put ashtrays, or if they're smoking in the house, could you please vacate the house in a nice way? And you'd ask them, you know, not to even discuss or have cigarettes lying around, so it's not even visual, that you'd see a packet of cigarettes in front of you, or a vape. You know, we haven't discussed vapes, and actually that's another, there's still nicotine in most of the vapes that are on sale. So just to answer, finish the question, is basically you'd ask them to be more considerate of yourself. And I think that in time, when they see a success or see somebody doing, you know, doing well, and they might say, right, well, look, at I'm going to maybe try it. I can see you're succeeding, so let's give it a go. But the big thing is probably visually, you're not seeing cigarettes, you're not seeing ashtrays, you're asking the person to step outside. And I would hope that if your partner was anyway considerate, that they would do that for you. Okay. And even if they were, if you say to them, look, if you're going to have a cigarette, maybe I'm not even watching you do it, if you pop out and go for a walk and smoke away from me. And then maybe, you know, just sort of say when they come in, would you mind removing your jacket or whatever, you know, the smell of smoke from that, and we'll put that somewhere else. Mm. So it might just, you know, in a way, if you're watching somebody succeed, that you might get somebody else to
get on the bandwagon.
Engage. Yeah. Engage. Yes.
I just want to give out the, I don't have the local numbers in front of me, but I know you have them, Maeve, so I'll give out the Quit free phone number if anyone wants to call that. It's 1-800-201-203. That's 1-800-201-203. Or if you want to text the Quit line, it's Quit, Q-U-I-T, to 50100. That's Quit to 50100. And Maeve, I think you might have the local numbers there too.
We're just getting it there now for Aoife over in Vista. Can I just make one, I know I'm sorry now, but just wanted to comment about the vaping. So people will say to me, oh well, it's okay, I'm not smoking anymore, I'm vaping.
Okay.
There still is nicotine in the vapes, okay?
Right.
And there's no research to show what damage after a year that the vapes are actually causing. So it's just to be very mindful. If people think that they're being fooled, that there's no nicotine, there's still plenty of chemicals. And what the problem is, like in years down the line, we have no idea what these chemicals are going to do, you know, to people. So,
the HSE does not recommend vapes as a replacement, is what
not
you're saying?
Not in Ireland. Okay. We do not, no. So, and if you are vaping, that you can still access the same system. You can access the Quit Smoking through the Health Promotion or Quit Line.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I have a mobile number here for Aoife O'Brien, who is actually a smoking cessation officer from the Vista and Nason. She's actually taken over from Serena Stanley over in Newbridge. So it's 087 142 0249. And if you just leave a message, Aoife is absolutely magnificent. We're working very well together here in the hospital. We're actually starting our smoking cessation group for staff on the 7th of March.
Okay, brilliant. So, well, thanks so much for that. Fitzgerald there, Health and Wellbeing Coordinator at Naas General Hospital, reminding people that supports are available if they are trying to give up smoking for Lent or just in general. And they are also giving the patches for free. Anything you need, the gum replacement, or the chewing gum, the nicotine, all those things. But they do not recommend that you use a vape instead of smoking. That is not recommended by the HSE at this time. Today, Sinn Féin has called for the sub-minimum wage rates in Ireland to be abolished. And this was also called for by the Mandate Trade Union back in January. And I'm joined now on the line by Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD and party spokesperson for Enterprise, Trade and Employment. Good afternoon, Louise.
Good afternoon.
Louise, tell us first why, you know, I suppose the logic behind this.
Well, I suppose it's a very simple concept, equal pay for work of equal value. In the case of workers who are aged 19, 18 or under 18, they aren't, there is a kind of a get out clause where they can earn less than the minimum wage. So if you're 19, it's €10.17. If you're 18, it's €9.04. And if you're under 18, it's €7.91. And I suppose the concept of equal pay for work of equal value has to hold here, because there's nobody suggesting that if you're age 19, 18 or under 18, that you're providing sub-minimum rates of work. You're not. You're expected to turn up and do the same work as your counterparts who are working on the same money. So I think that's an important principle. And I think also, you know, what was in Mandate launched a report last week entitled Smoke and Mirrors, which was basically a look at what's happening in the retail sector, where predominantly they would have members. And in some instances now, and, you know, I'm not saying this happens in every employment, because it doesn't, but in some cases where you have more long-standing workers that might be on a higher rate of pay, where they're on a variable hours contract or whatever, that in some employers are bringing in workers who are, you know, who can be paid the lower rate of pay, and they're getting hours ahead of the people on the slightly more enhanced rates because of their service. And I just don't think it's fair. You know, nobody is saying that if you're 19 and you turn up to work and you're working alongside someone who's 25, that, you know, your boss is going to say to you, listen, you don't have to do as much because we're only giving you 90% of the minimum wage. That's not happening. You know, they're expected to work and to do the work, and I think they should be paid the proper rate for the job.
Okay, I take your point there, definitely, Louise. But if you look at, say, right, a person who gets a job and they're 50, and someone who's 17 starts in the same role, would you not think that someone who's much older has a wealth of knowledge that an experience that maybe the 17-year-old doesn't have?
Well, that can be reflected in a higher rate of pay for the person who's 50. I mean, somebody who has, you know, if you're 50 years of age, at least 30 years of, you know, at least 30 years of employment behind them is going to bring much more to the role and may possibly be entitled to a higher rate than the minimum wage. But I think if the two people are going to be doing the same work, I just don't think it's fair to say to the person who is 17 that they won't have that they won't be expected to work as hard. They will be expected to work as hard, you know, and there'll always be exceptions to this, because there will be instances whereby you know, people are in training, or you could be working in a family business and only popping in and popping out, and all of these things can be, you know, can be catered for. But I think as a general rule of thumb, if you're expecting someone to do the work, then they should get the rate for the job. And I don't see that there's any difference between a person who's 21 and a person who's 19. And yes, there is a very visible difference in the rate of pay that the law says that you can pay them.
Okay, and in terms of a family business, then, do you think that this should be applied, or is there any, you know, kind of loopholes for this in those circumstances?
Well, what I'd like to see actually is the government doing a proper consultation on this. So I know that the Low Pay Commission is looking at this issue, and I'd like to see that examined, because there are some instances where people will tell you, you know, they do a bit of work in the family business, but they may not necessarily be formally employed. You could look at that. Also, I mean, nobody's talking about changing the rates for apprentices, because those people are actually learning on the job. They're coming in to learn why they work. So, you know, there are already.
So you wouldn't be in favour of that, because I know that Labour are in favour of a minimum wage for apprentices starting out on day one.
But I think there are different levels of apprenticeship, because, you know, you start learning on day one, and I think as you as it develops, you can see that you know, that people are going to be eventually getting up to doing the actual work and doing the actual rate for the job. But there are situations whereby workers will be leaving to go to college, or they will not spend all of their time working because they're going to spend some of their time studying and learning. But again, I think this is why we want to see that report from the Low Pay Commission, and we want to see what it is that the government are prepared to do on this. This was something that was raised, and Sinn Féin have brought in legislation now twice into the through the Shannon and into the Dáil on the abolition of sub-minimum rates of pay. And I think we need to look at that and have those discussions with the Apprenticeship Council, and, you know, to see where that can land. But there certainly are cases where there would be a derogation, but I think they're going to be very small. I actually think the vast majority of workers on the sub-minimum rates of pay should have their rates brought up to at least the minimum. And, you know, let's not forget, the living wage is currently set by the by livingwage.ie as 13.85, so that's still a good bit away from what is the minimum wage, you know. But I think we need to break away from this notion that if you're 19, you're living at home and somehow your parents are subsidising you. These workers are very often making a very important contribution into the family income and into the household budget, and I think that needs to be recognised, you know. For very many of them, it's not pin money or pocket money or, you know, a few bob to go for a pint on a Friday. They're actually putting into the family budget. And in many cases, you know, these families are struggling. We're in the middle of a cost of living crisis. So I don't think we have much time to lose on this. I think the government need to really act speedily on this.
Okay, we have a message in here, Louise. This person says, I think wages should be lower whilst on trial for maybe 3 months, then equal unless you're hardworking and then deserve a promotion. There should maybe be an incentive to earn more with three grades. I mean, maybe that could be something that could be looked at, different grades or trial periods and things like that, Louise.
Well, I think I actually had a mom in one of my constituency clinics there a couple of weeks ago, and she said her daughter had been brought in to do a trial in a local business, and she had worked for 4 days, and at the end of it, and worked hard, like, and at the end of it was told, well, sorry, we actually, you know, there isn't a job here for you. So I think there's a danger with that, you know, okay. And you know, I think that any suggestion that somehow, you know, equal pay for work of equal value isn't going to apply, I think that's something that I would worry about. And I know this is an issue that has been raised with me by Patricia Ryan and Raida Cronin, similar to the issue that was raised with myself, is that people on trial are told, well, look, you know, you're not actually doing the job. If you're expected to do the job, you need to be paid the rate for the job. And I think that's, you know, that's only fair and reasonable.
Is there a situation in any situation where someone can go in for 1 day and not be paid or paid lower, Louise?
I don't believe so, no. Okay. I think if you're in to do work and you do the work, you're entitled to the rate for the job. Okay. You know, and I think bringing people in on a trial and expecting them to work for nothing, I mean, I would ask any boss that engages, and I, by the way, I think it's a very, very small number of people, and, you know, certainly I was quite shocked when it was raised with me, but, you know, any boss that would say to someone, come in and work for a day for nothing, I mean, you'd have to ask that person, are you prepared to go to work and work for a day for nothing? I think the answer is probably no. The same as myself and yourself, you know, you work for a variety of reasons, but the wages are most definitely, you know, most definitely part of it. And I, you know, my granny, God rest her, used to always say, if you work for free, you'll never be idle, you know, and she was right. You know, there'll always be work for people who will work for free. And I think, you know, if you have the kind of, oh, there might be a job at the end of this, if you come in and you work for nothing, you're undermining the work done by the other people who are there. You're undermining the rate for the job, and essentially you're sending a message to the boss that you're prepared to work for no pay. And I just don't think that is very acceptable at all.
Okay, that's Louise O'Reilly there, Sinn Féin TD and party spokesperson on enterprise, trade and employment, calling there for the sub-minimum wage rates to be abolished. Thanks very much, Louise.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, a store in Kildare is paving the way for both businesses and consumers who wish to reduce or even completely eliminate the waste that they generate. Refills, which is based in Naas, and there's also a store in Port Arlington, sells whole foods and eco-friendly products sourced locally, and they are the winners of the Green Micro Enterprise of the Year Award for 2023. And I'm joined now on the line by founder and owner Sinead Wisely. Good afternoon, Sinead.
Hi, Cleva. How are you?
Sinead, firstly, tell us where the concept came from and how you came up with this business.
So myself and my husband, Martin, we were in Canada for 5 years in Vancouver. And while we were over there, we actually shopped this way. So we used to bring our own containers into the store and we used to refill all our products. And so when we came back to Ireland, we found there was plastic everywhere. And so our way to help ourselves shop plastic free was to set up our own store and to help other people locally shop plastic free as well.
Okay, it's definitely a great idea and you can save so much on in terms of plastic. But I suppose the big question people will always ask is money-wise, Sinead, do you think that your shop can compete in prices in comparison to the other stores that are selling from, you know, plastics and you know, plastic waste package?
Oh, totally. We always price compare back towards Dunnes and Supervalue and we come in favourably and our products would be like, a lot of them would be organic, so it would be 60% organic in the shop. And we do favour and compare back favourably to those stores. So like we do have some of the same product ranges. Like we've Kellogg's, we've Lily's Eco Clean, and we will have Wicklow Rapeseed Oil and a few other products like that as well that would be in the mainstream conventional shop.
Okay, so for people who are, excuse the pun, totally green to this idea, can you just talk us through exactly what you have to do in terms of your shop and what it entails?
Well, we mainly encourage people to bring in their own containers. So whether it's Tupperware, Ziploc bags, even the old bottles like shampoo bottles they would have used. So when you come into our shop, you weigh your bottle first or your container first, and then you fill it and then you re-weigh. So you take off the original weight of the container. And then you only come up to the till then and pay for what is in that container. So whether you quarter fill it or whether you half fill it or fully fill it, you only pay for what's in that bottle then at that time.
Okay, it's definitely a great idea. List out a few of the other products that you might have, Sinead, for anyone who might be listening and thinking maybe they might want to go to your store in Naas or Port Arlington.
So we have like cereals, rice, pasta, nuts, seeds, dried fruit. We have laundry liquids, shampoos, conditioners, wash-up liquid, and then some eco-friendly products like beeswax wraps, bamboo toothbrushes, hair brushes. You can also get your candles refilled, so bring in all your old candle jars, and we can actually get them refilled as well. So you're not sending those jars then off to landfill. So.
Okay, it's definitely a great initiative. Do you think more needs to be done, Sinead, to tackle, you know, plastic waste in this country?
Totally. I just feel like that a lot of the companies out there are dealing more with greenwashing, but we need to kind of stop the production of that plastic in the first place. So by bringing your own bottle into the shop, you every time you bring that in, you're saving more plastic from going basically to an incinerator or off to some other poor country to have to deal with it. So I feel like that if we nip it in the bud now, stop that product being produced in the first place, then it kind of paves the way then for us to be more sustainable in life.
Okay, in comparison to Canada, how far are we off them in terms of this kind of initiative?
Well, I feel like that we just need to make it more mainstream. So in Canada, it is, in a sense, more mainstream there. Like the stores, the larger stores have taken on, and although it is more labour intensive for some of those stores, they have taken it on and you can walk into Superstore, say, and fill up. So, yeah, it is more accepted over there. It is more mainstream and more, like, known. So.
Okay. Whereabouts are your stores located in Naas and Port Arlington then, Sinead?
So our store in Naas is on the Kilcullen Road, so just past the Swans on the Green. And then our store in Port Arlington is based in Sullis Eco Garden Centre.
Okay. Were you surprised about being the winner for this Green Micro Enterprise Award?
We were totally shocked and obviously delighted. It really was a big shock to us. We were kind of in our heads like saying a different name, and then when they announced Refill Zero Waste Limited, it was actually when other people started staring at us saying, "You guys, you won." We were like, "Oh, well, really?" So Martin walked up in a complete daze to accept the award then.
Oh, fair play to you. Where to next then after this, Sinead?
We don't know. We always have people watch this space. We're always on the prowl for new opportunities and for new ideas. So,
well, we'll be behind you then, Sinead. Well done on that award. And that is Sinead Wisely there, owner of Refills in Naas and, of course, in Port Arlington, winner of the Green Micro Enterprise of the Year Award. Well done.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
Surely those that should have been targeted are those that are struggling with housing, with rent, with mortgage.
So I've just outlined previously to Owen the supports that are there for renters.
Okay, let's pick up on that, Martin, because the average rent in Kildare, according to daft.ie, and we had them on the show here recently, is €1,700 in Kildare. That's the average rent a month. And you're saying a €500 tax credit is going to help that?
So a €500 tax credit for last year and for this year and for people who haven't availed of it.
Right, so it doesn't cover a month's rent in Kildare.
Well, if it's a couple together, it would, and that would be 1 month out of 12.
Join me, Owen Beattie, on Kildare Today for issues affecting you in your local community, as well as the biggest stories nationally and internationally. Monday to Friday from 9 to 11.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge.
KFM. Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney.
I am joined on the line by Leanne Costello of Clean Coasts Campaigns, and she's an officer with them for the Think Before You Flush. And they're urging people not to flush anything crazy down the toilet, because the only things that you should be putting down the toilet is your pee, your poo and your paper. Good afternoon, Leanne.
Thanks for having me on, Caoimhe.
Leanne, tell us, look, it might seem obvious to some people, but obviously people are throwing, you know, things that they shouldn't be down the toilet.
Yeah, unfortunately, we still have that going on. We are moving in the correct direction. So in 2018, just for example, we had about one in three people flushing inappropriate, damaging items down the toilet. And now we've dropped it down to one in five. But I suppose that's still 20% of people within Ireland that think it's okay to flush items like wet wipes and maybe period products like tampons or pads. Even sometimes nappies can be tried to flush down the toilet as well.
Nappies.
I know, huge.
I'm
not sure how it works. Yeah, well, so like the main thing we try to talk about is our campaign is like a no shame campaign, and quite often people will come up to us and they mightn't believe that people are flushing these things down the toilet, but unfortunately the data is showing us that they are, and so what we just look for is you know, for people to talk about it as much as possible, and also put a bin in the bathroom. It's the easiest solution.
Yeah, a bin in the bathroom definitely is essential. And in fairness, sometimes you know you go to someone's house or you're somewhere and. A lot of people don't have bins in their bathrooms, and it can be quite awkward, you know, in certain situations. I'm sure, Leanne, you probably know what I'm talking about. But explain to me then why you can't put down the likes of, say, contact lenses, cigarette butts, condoms, cotton bud sticks.
So, yeah, so, you know, I think we live in a country where, amazingly, when we flush our toilet, we don't have to deal with what we flushed ever again. And so it might be a little bit of out of sight, out of mind. But unfortunately, you know, if we do flush these items, they make their way into our wastewater network. And through the pipes, there's really high potential of them getting stuck and causing blockages. Now, that could be within your own home, or it could be further down the line within your own locality or your own community. If we're talking about a blockage happening at that point, you are talking about potential overflows. So that again could be within your own house or it could be within your own community. If it's in your own house, of course it's a pretty disgusting to deal with, and it's a big financial effort to sort it out. In our own communities and locality, once it moves past the house, there's potential of polluting the natural environment with sewage, wastewater, which is, I think we can all agree, is not something that we would like to see in our local areas. And then once it starts making its way further down the line, so again, these items, like you mentioned there, the cotton buds, wet wipes is a huge one, big issue with these. Once they end up getting to the wastewater network or wastewater treatment plant, they can end up damaging some of the equipment. once this equipment is damaged, unfortunately, then again, if it's out of use, we do look at overflows again, because the wastewater has to go somewhere. It's not going to stop. People aren't going to stop using the bathroom. So it does lead to overflows into the natural environment once again, and into our water bodies more likely at that point. So our kind of inland and marine water bodies. And then once it gets out into there, if it gets past all those levels, it then is adding plastic and litter waste into our marine environment and just adding to the kind of the global problem of marine pollution.
Okay. I actually have a text in here, Leanne, and I'm fairly shocked by it. This woman says that her friend flushed her chip pan. Now, I'm assuming it's the contents of a chip pan down her toilet. Now, she says she did stop her doing it, but she was really shocked. So, I mean, like, that's, like, this woman says it's a chip pan, but I assume it's the contents of a chip pan. Again, like these, some people obviously think that's normal.
Yeah, and actually this woman kind of hit a double whammy there of environmental issues with this. So, you know, we were talking about sewage-related litter, so basically stuff that people are flushing down the toilet, which are litter items. And this item sounds like more, it's like a food waste issue. Mm. And we actually have we have the Think Before You Flush campaign, which focuses on litter items going down the toilet. But we also have the Think Before You Pour campaign, which is trying to raise awareness of making sure that people know not to pour their fats, oils and greases down the kitchen sink. So she managed to get it down the toilet. So it's like a merge of both of our campaigns. But unfortunately, you know, when we have...
But you wouldn't recommend putting it down the toilet either?
Like, not at all.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. So to go into it, basically once we have like food waste, so whether it's like just food scraps or your fats, oils and greases, they're going to cause blockages. Now, specifically with the fats, oils and greases in your kitchen, in your house, they're at room temperature, more likely they're liquid. But once they hit the pipes and they go into that colder environment, so like you've got to think pipes are going underground, a lot colder than your kitchen, the oils and greases will solidify. And once they become solid, they start mixing with other sewage-related litter items like your wipes, your cotton buds, and they end up causing huge blockages. So the fat oils and greases issue, quite often we would refer to it as blockages made up of these called fatbergs. Mm. Some of your listeners may have heard of this before, but they're called fatbergs because they can get so huge, the kind of as they all come together from different people pouring them down. Mm. Now, we've had a good few quite large ones in Ireland, but it kind of reference to kind of the size that these can get to. There was one found in London, I think about 5 or 6 years ago at this stage, that was the size of a double-decker bus.
Wow. So like that has huge knock-on effects, I'm sure, for like the wastewater treatment plants and then water as well, like coming back through the system.
Absolutely. You know, like once we start blocking our wastewater treatment plant, we're talking about overflows into the natural environment. And in many cases, it's overflows into the places that we actually get our drinking water from. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that is something that we want to avoid as much as possible. So by just simply ensuring bin in the bathroom for all your litter items in the toilet, so your pee, poo and paper can go down no problem. Mm-hmm. But then that's toilet paper, everything else goes into the bin. And then in the kitchen, just ensuring that we scrape off our plates, we wipe off the fats, oils and greases before we start washing them in the sink to avoid them from going down.
Okay, that is Leanne Costello there, Clean Coast campaign officer for Think Before You Flush, urging people to only flush the three P's down the toilet, which is pee, poo and paper. Thanks very much, Leanne. Now, changing tack a small bit, but I just see something online here that you may find interesting. Leo Varadkar says, demonised landlords should be given better tax treatment. The Taoiseach has said that he thinks landlords have been demonised and they should be given better tax treatment to encourage them to stay in the market. It comes as Housing Minister Dara O'Brien will shortly bring a proposal to Cabinet on whether to extend the eviction ban or not. Mr Varadkar said he believed there had been a demonisation of landlords, particularly in Ireland, which has not been helpful. Housing reports have shown supply of rental homes in Ireland is at an all-time low. Of course, we all know that. Let me know what you think. Have landlords been demonised? 0833 97 97 97.